Genesis chapter 3. Okay, we're going to do it. Grace, stand on your chair. We're going to sing happy birthday to you. Do it, do it, do it, do it, do it. Okay, she's not going to do it. So we're just going to sing happy birthday, Grace, and the squeaky, like, sound like a chipmunk fast forwarded. We do different ones every time. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go.
Happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, happy birthday to you, Grace. Happy birthday to you.
Okay, nope. Okay, we're done. We did it. Turn to your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Woo! Genesis chapter 3. We're continuing Jesus jargon, getting into a new section of it this week. And I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. I think it's going to be good. It's going to be good. How old are you turning, Grace?
I am right now 12 years old.
Turning 13.
64 days.
So you're turning 13?
Wow. Well, welcome to the 13th party.
Yeah.
Welcome to the 13th party. Okay, let's stand on our feet. I'm guessing you guys got it pretty quick. Because it's pretty easy to get. I'm going to do something real quick. Just something like that. Because I think it was feeding back. Okay. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. You got it? If you got it, say got it. Hey, that's pretty good. Okay. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Heavenly Father, we ask that as we enter this new portion of Jesus jargon, that you would give us a supernatural understanding of your character and of your word and of the doctrine that is there for us to understand within Scripture. We pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. We need him flowing through us and give us an ability to focus on all that you have for us, to understand all that you speak to us, and speak through me directly to your people, I pray. Let each word that I speak be from you to the hearts of your people. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Have a seat. So, we're going through Jesus jargon, and if you haven't been present for that, or if you didn't know much about it, what it is we're looking at common Christian topics that can sometimes be misunderstood within Christianity, or they're not given a full amount of attention or the full amount of attention that they really need for us to grasp it completely. So we finished the Christian steak and potatoes, if you will. We looked at prayer in the Bible, and it's like your carbs and your protein, everything you need to get through the day. And now we're moving on to something that I think is essential to understanding almost everything related to God in the Bible, like almost 100% of all other doctrine that is there for us to understand within Scripture. Yet it's often really confusing and difficult to understand. And that new topic is evil. That's my evil laugh. For the next couple of weeks, probably 2 weeks, I think, we're going to spend time taking an in-depth look at evil, an in-depth look at what evil is, which sounds kind of bad. Like, we're going to spend a couple weeks at church looking at evil, but it won't be bad. I promise. It won't be bad. Now, when we hear that we're going to be talking about evil, we can sometimes get that feeling like we need to put our sermon armor on because it's going to be like super intense and it's going to like make us feel guilty and like shame and all of that because it's on evil and I'm going to feel evil and then have to repent. But no, it's not going to be like that at all, because basically what we're going to do is we're going to treat this study as viewing it in a very objective way. We're going to analyze evil in an objective sense. Does anybody know what it means to be objective when you analyze something? This is kind of, if you're in science, you're probably starting to learn objective studies. So what it means to be objective is not influenced by personal feelings or opinions and considering the representing facts. So we're basically going to look at just the facts that are there to be examined behind evil. Just the facts. That's all we're going to look at. We're not going to see like who we are emotionally in response to that and like compare ourselves to the evilness that we see. We're just going to look at the facts, the theology, and the doctrine behind evil. Which is important. It's important for us to know. And I think it's going to be super, super helpful for you guys simply because a lot of people, including Christians, do not know what evil is. They either make it into something that's way bigger than what it really is, they make it into something huge compared to what it really is, or they make it into something smaller. They kind of minimize it compared to what it truly is in reality. And you guys, if you can grasp what evil is, if someone asks you what evil is and you can understand it and explain it, you will be years ahead of Christians your age, and you will be ahead of a lot of Christians that are a lot older than you because they just haven't taken the time to learn what evil is. And so we're going to break this little study series down into probably two parts, maybe three. And the first part is, why is evil a thing? That's what we're going to look at tonight. Second part, we're going to look at the consequences of evil. So that'll be a different series. It's still going to be objective, but it might get a little bit more personal because we're looking at the consequences of it. And then we may spend 1 week after that looking at the theology behind Satan and demons. The reason I say maybe is because while we go through this, we're going to get to understand a lot more of the role of Satan and demons, so we may not need to. It will just depend on how much that works itself into the teaching. So, without further ado, let's get into our study today, which is, why is evil a thing? Why is it even a thing? And to answer this question, we're going to look at three main things, three main topics. First, the definition of evil. Second, the birth of evil. And then third, the reason for evil. So the definition, the birth of evil. And then the reason for evil. By the birth of evil, I just mean like the start of evil on earth. But birth was like the only one word that covered all of that. I could have said the start, but start doesn't sound as cool. Okay, so let's start looking at the definition of evil. 1 John 1:19 says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies in wickedness." And that word wickedness obviously can be exchanged for evil. The whole world lies in evil. They're very, pretty much have the same meaning throughout all scripture. And there's one very common view of evil that is outside of Christianity, but it also, some people within Christianity also have this view as well. And it's a view called dualism. And dualism is the belief that God and evil are two, or sorry, not God and evil, that good and evil are two separate but equal eternal powers that are destined to battle against each other for all of eternity. So it's like, you know, it's like that good versus evil. It's the common thing that we think about. Some of us might think of the good old-fashioned Force versus the Sith. And we think of, you know, they're both almost equally as powerful. And they go against one another. Maybe the evilness gets a little bit of a leg up, and then the goodness gets a little bit of a leg up, and then goodness gets, and evil gets a little leg up, and they're going against, and then like evil like comes from behind and sneaks up, and then like everything has to do. And this is a very Common view, yes. What is your question? Are you correcting my Star Wars jargon?
Did you say Force versus Dark Side?
I said Force versus Sith.
Yes.
Jedi versus Sith?
Yes.
Oh. So, this view, though, of dualism, that's what's more important. Not the Sith, unfortunately. But dualism is what's more important. This view is not supported by scripture at all. We see it throughout all of our media, like Transformers, Star Wars, superheroes, Thor, the Hulk. I mean, Spider-Man and Poison. What's that thing? Ivy? No, Spider-Man and... That black stuff? What's it called? Venom, yeah. Spider-Man and Venom. We see all of these things that are like good and evil going against one another, equally powered, destined to battle it out throughout all of eternity. But here's why it is not supported by scripture. I've got a few specific points. First, God is good. Jesus said in the Gospels, no one is good but God. So when we say good versus evil, we're really saying God versus evil. Second, God was around before evil existed. God was around way before evil was going on in the world. Way before, because God is eternal and evil is something that is not eternal. Evil is not a force or a power. A lot of us tend to think that like evil is sweeping the world, assuming, like seeking and trying to crush things and make shadows and it, like lurking in the shadows, and the shadows are spreading through the world and the world is taking over and the solar eclipse is, oh no, that's when evil is powerful. But no, it's not the case. Evil is not a force, it's not a power, it doesn't have like something that it can do. It's not an active thing that's doing something. God is much more powerful than any of the workers of evil. And so we have to understand that there are workers of evil. There's people that are working in evil. That is what they do. And we have to understand that they're not puppets of evil. It's not like the evil force behind it is controlling it and moving it around and causing it to do. No, they are just spreading evil. They're workers of evil, pushing it as far as they can, going along with it as they can. Or they're just evil themselves and continuing in that evil. So dualism shows us, one more point, that dualism is not supported by scripture, is that the work of the devil will be put to an end. We see that in Revelation, that the devil's work here on earth, what he's doing, the evil that he is working out, it's not going to last forever. And God is going to put an end to it. And so it's not going to be battling out for all of eternity. They're not equally skilled. They're not equally powerful. And God existed way before evil was around. Dualism shows us what evil is not. But the question is, what is evil? And in its simplest explanation, evil is anything against the perfect standard set forth by God. So if I had to give you a like clear, clean-cut definition, I would say evil is an action or a connection that is contrary to God. So an action. Anything that you do that is against what God told you to do, or against what God called you to do, or against what God has set in place. Anything that is done. Or a connection. Anything or anyone that you associate yourself with, or affiliate yourself with, or hang out with, or connect with, or begin a relationship, friendship with, that God told you not to, or that God did not plan for you to, and it is in contrary to God. That is what evil is. We have to understand that evil ends right there. That is all it is anything, any action or connection that is against the perfect standard set forth by God. It's not a force, it's not a power that's trying to destroy and conquer and do certain things. It is just that, an action or connection that is contrary to God. So now let's look at the birth of evil. And to look at the birth of evil, just like the birth of anything, we gotta go back to the beginning. Genesis 2 verse 16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, 'Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die.'" We all know this story. I'm pretty sure most of you guys know the story. Adam and Eve are told they can't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's what they're told by God. It's the one thing that they cannot do in the garden. They cannot eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And things are really chill. Everything's working out for them until that one day that the serpent rolls up. Everything's going good. And then the serpent rolls up and tells Eve two lies. Two lies that are important for us to realize, the lies that the serpent says. He says, one, that you won't really die. So, because God said, if you partake of it, you shall surely die. And immediately he says, you won't really die. What God told you is not true. And then that you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And Eve's like, oh, well, as a matter of fact, that does look delicious. And she's like, and it's a pretty tree too. I guess I can't eat that. And so she eats it, peels it open, or cracks it open. I don't know what type of fruit it was. We don't know. So she eats it, bites into it, however you eat that fruit. And then she gives it to Adam, gives it to her husband. He eats it. And then, bam, at that moment, mankind has fallen into a state of evil.
Thanks a lot.
Bam, at that moment, yeah. It's a bit of a bummer. And so the question that arises in that whole narrative is, when was the birth of evil on earth? The first thing people ask is, did God create evil when he created the tree? No. God tells them that if they eat of the fruit, they will die. But that is not because of some secret poison inside of the tree, or because of some, like, some granny that's been sneaking around slipping poison into the apples. No, death is the punishment of sin. It's the punishment of the evil. It's not because of the fruit. It's not because of the tree. It's nothing that has to do with the tree. It's simply because of their sin. And we are told later in the passage that it will make them know good and evil. It'll make them like God because they'll know the difference between good and evil. But that is a lie from the serpent. Notice that the tree is just called the knowledge of good and evil. It's not told that it's going to give them knowledge of good and evil. It's just called good and evil. So it's very important for us to realize that that tree is not evil. There's nothing harmful or bad about it. It's not the tree that is evil. It is the disobedience to God that is evil. Now, the second question that can rise up is, was Satan spreading evil on the world already? And the answer to that is no. The only thing that Satan could do to bring evil on the earth was tempt human beings to sin. So at that point in time, Satan was just doing all he could, literally everything he could, to get human beings to sin. Because when human beings sin, that is when evil is now present on earth. So we know the birth of evil is when evil entered the planet through Adam and Eve's disobedience to God by partaking of that fruit. And it's not because when they bit into the fruit, it unleashed some magical darkness that is now spreading through the world and contaminating everything. No, and it's not because the peel of the whatever fruit it was holding back the darkness of the world. No, it's nothing like that. It's simply because evil is an action or a connection that is against the perfect standard that God has set forth. Evil is not the fruit. Evil is not the tree. That tree is just like the deep end of a swimming pool. You know, when you didn't know how to swim, your parents said, hey, don't go into the deep end of the swimming pool or you'll die. Hopefully they didn't say that, because then you'd be scarred for life. But they told you not go, and it's because you would drown. And the deep end of the pool, it's not evil. It's not like if you get in there, it's going to pull you down and fight against you and crush you. And it's such an evil thing that you're unprepared for. No, it's just a deep pool that you could end up drowning in. And so they set it there to keep you safe. They set it there not because it's evil, not because it's the dark side of the pool. No, it's just simply to save you. It's simply to protect you. And so that tree was not an evil thing. It's not something that was inherently bad that God created and was protecting them from. It's just a commandment that he gave them. And the darkness, the evil, came from their disobedience to God. So this leaves us asking a question that every person, I would argue every person over the age of probably fifth grade, whatever age that is, 10, 9, I don't know, 12, 11, I don't know.
And
the question is, if God knows everything, and he knew that Adam and Eve would eat of that fruit and become evil people, why even make the tree? If he knew that that tree looked so delicious that they would want to take it, why make that tree? Or why make it a rule? If the tree is not an evil thing, why not just let them eat the tree? Why couldn't he just say, eat whatever you want, do whatever you want, let's have a good time, everything's going to be perfect? And this brings us to our last point, and that is the reason for evil. Why would God even give us an option when he knew that mankind would choose evil? This is the question that keeps so many people from committing their lives to Christ, so many people from committing their lives to God, because they cannot get past this question. And the answer to this question is actually kind of in the question. He gave us an option so that we would have an option. Mind blown. Oh, no. What? Here, follow me on this train of thought. It's going to be a little hard to grasp, but try to track with me. God could have made us mindless human beings with no free will and like nothing else to do but worship God. But he knew that there would be no true love present in that relationship, no commitment, no sacrifice, no real lasting love. So instead, he made us in his own image. And partially what that means is that we as human beings have the ability to make huge decisions on our own, even deciding our own eternal fate. So he put that tree there not to curse us, but to test us, to give us the option to serve him or to serve evil. In hopes, God was hoping that we would always choose him. Here, let me repeat that, because it's like it's kind of taking you on the whole journey of like all of Scripture. God could have made us mindless human beings, just wandering around, worshiping him, knowing nothing else to do but submit our lives to him. But he knew that there would be no real love, no commitment, no sacrifice. We're not saying no to anything. We're just saying yes, yes, yes to everything that comes our way, and everything's perfect. So instead, he made us in his image. And what that means is we can make huge decisions, even deciding our eternal fate. And so he put that tree there, not to curse us, not to cause evil to come upon us, but to test us, to see if there really is true love there, in hopes that when we have the option to serve him or to serve evil, hoping that we as human beings, made in the image of God, would choose him. So he gives us this option almost every day. The Bible says, choose this day whom you will serve. And how often in the course of a day do we choose something else? We choose something evil. Because choosing anything else other than God, we've chosen evil. Because evil is anything, any action or connection that is contrary to God. So in a strange, but I think it's a beautiful way, the reason for evil is to give us freedom. Can you wrap your mind around that? The reason God allowed us the option of evil was so that we would have freedom, so that we would have a choice, to give us the opportunity to really love. Because with no choice, there's no real sacrifice, there's no commitment, there's no, yeah, I could eat of that fruit and fall into an evil nature, but instead, I'm going to serve you. And now we have this choice to make as Christians, as any human being. You have the choice to make. Are you going to serve evil, serve the things of this world that is in a state of evil, or are you going to serve God? So, as we come to a close, I want to kind of summarize what we looked at, because we looked at the full doctrine of like why evil is a thing. And this is a huge thing to grasp. But if you can grasp it, it will help you understand so much more as you continue to grow in your walk with Jesus. So the definition of evil is only an action or connection or a connection that is contrary to God. That is all evil is. It's not a dark force. It's not some power that is pulling Christians toward it. No, it's just an action or connection that is contrary to God, that is against the perfect standard that God set forth. The birth of evil was not the tree. It was not the serpent. It was not when Lucifer, descended from heaven. It was the moment that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. That is when evil became present on planet Earth and continues to be present to this very day. And the reason for evil, the reason God even knew it would happen but still allowed it, was to give us the option, to give us freedom, to truly love God. So, as we head to small groups, it looks like we'll probably just have one big guy small group, and then girls, I'll tell you how we'll break up small groups in a little bit. The best way to learn something well is to talk about it. Like, trust me. The best way to get like something you're studying in your head is to talk about it. But if you talk about it improperly, it makes it really difficult to learn it properly. So there's some questions on your small group cards, and they're pretty deep questions. They're things that you can discuss, that you can even kind of debate. You can get into those like sanctified discussions, arguments. But make sure that when you talk, that you're using that you're talking about evil in the correct way, in the way that it really is. You're not speaking about it as some sort of force. You're not speaking about it as something that's battling against God and equally powerful and they're going head to head, toe to toe. No, like we have to use the correct tone, the correct view toward it as we talk about it. And if you guys get any super deep questions about what evil is, why the tree, why the serpent, why this, why that, what about demons, what about Satan, if you guys get any really deep questions that are like blowing your mind, write it on a question card, and I'll probably, I may not be able to answer it, but if I can, I'll try to answer it next week. Y'all got it? You feel me? Okay, so let me break up girls' groups real quick, and then we'll pray. So Jennifer's group is taking Terry's group as well, right? That's the one I get. Okay, that's what I thought. So if you're in Terry's group, represent. Terry's in Cabo, eating fish tacos, probably in the sunshine. Maybe not. It's probably nighttime. But yeah, you'll be with Jennifer. And then Bailey's group is also taking Kyla's group. So Kyla's group, her husband is like caught in the rain doing networking stuff, and so she couldn't come as well. So pray for, a lot of our leaders are like stuck in the rain somewhere, which is a bummer. So pray for your leaders. Yeah, a lot of the boys are too. What happened there? Okay, let's pray, and then we'll discuss this stuff in small groups. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that you are stronger than evil, Lord, that you are eternal, you are around way longer than evil has been present on earth. We pray that as we take this objective view toward evil and analyze it in this objective way, that you would help us to understand the doctrine and the theology that is there, help us to discuss it with each other and kind of work through kinks that we don't quite understand, work through things that we're trying to grasp, but it's like too complex, and help us to grasp those complex things. We know from your word that your Holy Spirit can help us do that. So go before us in our time in small groups. Give us an openness and an honesty with one another, and we pray that you would just bless the time. In your name we pray, amen. And we have Rice Krispie Treats in the back. Complimentary of Chris and Hudson and Bailey. And they came from my personal stash.